Hey everybody, welcome to River City Online. It's Pastor Kevin, and we are in part five of our series called Think Ahead. We're talking about the pre-decision of generosity today, pre-deciding that I will be generous. As believers, we are called to be more and more like Jesus, and Jesus was the most generous. He lived generosity. He thrived as a generous person on this planet, and he modeled that for us. God models that for us in that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, incredible in scripture how you see this arc of generosity. But one of the challenges is we're born into a broken world. We are born with the nature, the sinful nature, and so that means we're going to be naturally selfish. And so I don't have to convince you that other people are selfish. I don't even know if I need to convince you that by your default, you and I are selfish. I hope you can see that. But one of the things that really adds to that is this, is that in America especially, we are inundated with the message that, first of all, that you need to be happy, and that if you have more stuff and more things, you'll be happy. But also the messages that come at us communicate to us that dissatisfaction is right at your footstep, your doorstep, that you're not happy, that you're not satisfied. And the way that happens to us is just advertising. As a matter of fact, like in a couple of stats in 2007, these are on the screen, 2007, it said that the average person in America was seeing about 5,000 ads a day, either seeing or hearing 5,000 ads a day. And the whole point of an ad is to communicate to you what you would like to have, what you need, and to really hopefully stir up some sense of lack or want or desire in you that you want this thing that they're advertising. And so really it's you can't be satisfied with where you're at, and you deserve to be happy. And certainly in America, that's part of our, it's just baked into the culture. You gotta be happy. Now, I don't think God's against us being happy. He wants us to be blessed and happy and joyful. But the stuff, at what point is it enough? And in America, the ads communicate, it's not enough. You need something more, or you need the upgrade, or certainly that house you have isn't good enough. Certainly that car you have isn't good enough. You need a better one. You need a better iPhone. You need a better everything. And so, in 2007, that's been a while back, 22 years, 12 years ago, whatever it is, I can't keep, I don't know, anyway, 17 years ago, 13, I don't, doesn't matter, a long time ago, 2007, it was not enough. But now they say the ads have gone from 5,000 ads a day to 10,000. We're seeing and hearing that many ads a day. So it's just getting more and more and more, and in social media, and oh my goodness. And so how do we counteract that? How do we deal with that? What is the answer to that? It's interesting that Jesus said, Paul was communicating something Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35. He said this. He was actually speaking to the elders at Ephesus, some of his last words to them. And look what he says. He says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should also remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so that giving, but receiving is great. And I believe receiving, there's a blessing in that too, learning how to receive well, noticing what you receive, being grateful for what you receive. Paul's reminding the elders, the leaders at Ephesus, he said, don't forget that it's more blessed to give. It counteracts culture, yes, especially for us today. But even then, because it's a heart issue, when we give, we're saying, God, I trust you. You've entrusted me with something, now I give, and you get your mission done through us. You get your generosity done through your people. And so giving is so important. And ultimately, some people say, I've heard people say this, well, when I get my act together, then I'll start being generous. Then I'll start giving, especially when it comes to money. Even with time, it's like, well, I don't have any time, so I'll give money. But, well, I don't have any money, so I'll give my time. Well, actually, God owns it all. It's all his, our time, our talent, our treasure. We're supposed to be givers. We're blessed, so we're supposed to be a blessing. Now, but that's a lie. I think that's a lie that many times we believe. Well, it's like, well, once, especially around money, once I have more money, then I'll start to give. Once I have more money. The key thing to remember is that's ultimately a heart issue, and we need to start when we have a little, and it's easier as you get more, right? Let it grow, let your capacity grow. Cause it's interesting. I know people who are really poor and they're really stingy. I've known people who are really rich and they're stingy, but I've also known people who are poor and they're generous, and I've known people who are in between, and I've known people who are rich and in between rich and poor, and they're incredibly generous. So it's interesting how ultimately the reason for that is, ultimately it's a heart issue. We see that in the Bible. The widow gave her few coins, and so this challenge of our heart and generosity and money and time, that's what I want to talk about today. And if we pre-decide, this is a decision that makes such a difference in your life. If you pre-decide to be generous, a bunch of other things start to kick in. Now you might go, Kevin, are there any stats on this? In Craig Rochelle's book, Think Ahead, he gives some stats, and I put them on the screen for you. It's interesting that, and kind of surprising, that people who make an income of less than $25,000 a year, the stats that are given are they give away about 7.7% of their money. That's fascinating, isn't it? You think, well, is that a lot? But it's a lot considering in our society how much they're making. But look at the other stats. Those who make between 25 and 50 gave away 4.6. So it drops pretty dramatically, just right under 5%. And those who make 75,000 to 100,000 a year gave away 3%. And it keeps going, the percentage keeps going down. As a matter of fact, I think it was, he had more stats in this book, but those who give over, that make over $200,000 a year, between $200,000 and $1 million a year, are giving, it was like 2.6 or 2.8%. It kind of incrementally goes down. That's fascinating to me. And I think part of the challenge is, if you don't start giving, the challenge is, if you can give earlier, if you can give when your income is lower, it's easier to build that principle, that habit, and you see the blessing of the generosity. And so as your income grows and the things that God entrusts you grow, which I believe they do grow as you're more generous. So that's what's fascinating as well. So God wants to do that. And really the pre-decision is, if we want to become generous when we have more, we need to learn to be generous when you have less. If we want to become generous, that should be on the screen. When we have more, we need to learn to be generous when you have less. Jesus was he was teaching his disciples and those gathered, and he was talking about this person who was wrestling with these things, and he shares a parable. And let's look at it. Luke 12:13-15 says, "And someone called from the crowd, said, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me.' And Jesus replied, 'Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?' And then he said, 'Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.'" So look at verse 15 there, that last verse. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. And so Jesus is leaning in. He's saying, hey, pay attention. Beware. Okay, there's a big caution here. Greed is something that crouches at your door. It comes in and it's trying to infect your heart. And watch your heart and the stuff that we have, your money, our time, the material things, and covetousness, do we look at what everybody else has and go, well, I want that. I don't have that and I want it, and it makes me upset that they have it and I don't. We compare and he's like, pay attention, beware, be on guard, watch your heart, because life and happiness is not rooted in all that stuff, but greed will, it's toxic. It'll get in there. And man, it's all around us. And that's what those ads and messages are basically. We need more. We need more. We need more. We need to withhold more. Certainly, we don't need to give. We need to get, not give. And look at verse 18 to 19. It's the same story, continuation. Then he says, Jesus told them a story. He says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. Then, verse 19, I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Ah, you know, like honestly, when I read this parable, I go, sounds like the American dream. I mean, like the American dream, right? Just like, yeah, you know, work hard, be successful, things start to grow. If you enlarge it, more is better. And the message certainly in our society is that. But I think what's key here is to pay attention to for instance, just look at verse 19. He says, I'll sit back and all this great, you know, I'm going to build new barns because I don't have enough room for my current barns. So it's like the blessing is happening. It's like God is blessing him. There's blessing in his life. But do you notice he doesn't acknowledge God once in that parable? He doesn't acknowledge the source. It just really is all about himself. He's, you know, put it back on the screen. He says, he said to himself, what should I do? He doesn't say, God, what should I do? You bless me. I don't even have room for all my crops. And if God said to him, hey, you know, build another barn, build a bigger barn. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. But he doesn't include God in the conversation at all. And then he says, in verse 18, I know, I'll tear down my barn. So he has the aha. He's like, and then I'm going to build all this, and then I have more room to store stuff. I'm just going to keep it. Kind of greedy. There's nothing here about giving. He says, then I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. It's all for him. It's all for him. He doesn't get the fact that God's blessed him to be a blessing. Doesn't mean he can't enjoy it. Doesn't mean, I think clearly in Scripture, God wants to bless us, and he has blessed us, and he wants us even to grow what he's given us. He wants to steward it, right? That's Matthew 25. Grow these talents that you were given. Grow this money. Invest it. Steward it well. But it's not all for our benefit. It's not just for us to hoard it and keep it. God wants us to be a blessing to others. Now, look at verse 20 to 21 of the same passage. He says, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. The point, the main point here is, hey, it's not, the issue isn't the wealth. The issue isn't the riches. The issue isn't the blessing of God. The issue is a relationship with God. This guy's missing out on. He's all focused on more and money and that, but he's missing the rich relationship with God. That's the eternal thing. And why he's on this planet, he's meant to grow that relationship with God. One of the ways he grows that is by acknowledging that the wealth and the success has been a part of the blessing of God in his life, and he needs to be a giver to counteract that. And to cultivate the relationship with God is the key thing. And so that's what money and time and our families, everything that's in our lives, we're called to manage that for the King and his kingdom, right? He's the source of everything. He's the source of your abilities, your talents, your gifts, all of it. The air we breathe, the soil we walk on, the soil our homes are built on. I mean, do you own your home? Well, according to, yes, but ultimately God owns my home, right? If you, or he owns the person who the apartment that I'm renting. I mean, God owns it all. It's so key. It's so hard sometimes to remember, but it's key. So I want to talk to you about this predecision of I'm going to be generous. And I think we can get it here, but to get it down in our hearts is so key. And so the first thing to remember is that generous people do regular heart checks. He's really wanting this man in the parable to get to the heart of it, but he's missing it. It's just all about him. And he wants our heart first. Everything flows from the heart. And so be careful not to let more money or lack of money distract you from the main thing, the rich relationship with God that this man was missing. And God's saying that. That's where your treasure is. Remember, your heart is also. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Look at that. It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, right? There the desires of your heart will also be. So it's a great question to ask actually on a regular basis. Where's your treasure at? What are you thinking on the most? What are you spending your time thinking and mulling over and chewing on all the time? You can do an inventory every day. Do it on a daily basis. God, where's my heart been today? And man, it's easy to think about everything and forget to think about God, to think about, you know, and so it's a daily thing, but do a little inventory with the Lord. Pray about it. Ask him, because Jesus is trying to help us look at our hearts. He's interested in our hearts because everything flows from there. Now, I want to look at a passage on generosity, and it's a classic passage, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. I want to read it to you and then give you a couple more points about this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The context here is the Corinthian church. Paul's challenging them and encouraging them, and there are already a generous people, but they're not generous enough that he doesn't talk about it. There must not be everybody that must not be generous, because he's encouraging them, he's challenging them, he's complimenting them in many ways, saying, hey, many of you are generous, and I love that. But he's also reminding them, there's a greater level of generosity for you to grow towards. Okay, back to the passage. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. There's that heart thing, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you will can be generous on every occasion. Wow. And through us, your generosity will what? Result in thanksgiving to God. Oh my goodness, there's so much in here. I'm not going to unpack this whole thing. There's no way. But you should read this later. Read the whole context. Read chapter 9 and really chew on it from the first verse to the last verse. And these few verses right here, are I want to talk about those a little bit. And here's my second point. So first point was, generous people, they do a regular heart check. God, where's my heart at in the area of giving? Because you might go, I know I'm supposed to give, but I've kind of been not doing it. And I've had a lot of expenses lately. We'll talk to God about that. Say, God, what's going on in my heart that I don't trust you? Because when you're not giving of finances and time to God, when you're prayerfully going to those things, there's something going on in your heart. And so God is always interested mostly in our heart first, because that's where everything's flowing from, right? Guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the springs of life, right? And so generous people do heart checks. Secondly, generous people plan to be generous. That seems a little redundant, but generous people, they have a plan. It's not generosity. Real generosity, you can give a little bit here and there sporadically, and that's awesome. That's a great place to start. But that's not generosity. Generosity, I believe, has a plan. And so we're going to talk about that here just for a second. So let's go back to this passage we just read in 2 Corinthians 9, the first two verses, 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I just want you to notice in that first verse how much blessing there is, and that there's a journey to it. God's saying, you sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, generosity, reap generosity. You sow generosity, you reap it. But you sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. It's proportional, and that means there's a journey of growth opportunity that we have in that. I've seen it in my own life. I remember the years when I was young, in my early 20s, that I hardly ever gave a thing. I would help people some, but financially, I was just like almost zero. Occasionally would throw a 20 in the offering plate as it went by or something like that, offering bucket. But I, it was not consistent. It was not a plan. I hadn't pre-decided that I'm going to regularly tithe or I'm going to regularly give in some percentage. I just was kind of throwing in something here and there, but not consistent. Like, I mean, honestly, it's kind of embarrassing now to even think about it, but that was where I was at on the journey. And I remember when God shifted that, and it really happened about the time when I got married. Really, it was at 23 that I started giving consistently, because Shelly had a greater conviction, and it really challenged my heart. God started working on both of our hearts, and oh man, you know, she was already there, I felt like, but I had to come along slower. And so God uses that. He uses people in our lives. He uses the teaching. He uses our time in the Word and our rich relationship with the Lord as it grows. He challenges us in different areas. And for me, giving was one of those. And I realized I'm sowing sparingly, and so therefore I'm reaping sparingly. And I had blessing in my life. There's no question back then. But it's amazing how financially, when I started giving regularly, Shelly and I together, myself, it was amazing how God started blessing them. And so there's a journey to it. And I really believe generosity is a journey to mature in. He wants to grow us up in giving our time, and our talents, but also our treasure, our finances. And it's, you guys, I can just tell you from personal experience, it's so fun to be generous. Like, you start to realize God owns it all, and man, it's a blast. Like, to regularly give to your own local church is a consistent way to plan to be generous. And then God does other things. He'll challenge you to give a car away, or maybe you're the one who's received a car, or, you know, sometimes receiving and giving, it all goes together, and God uses it all. But it's fun to be able to bless other people, and God does it through us. And so your willingness to give is directly tied, this is something to keep in mind, is directly tied to how much you trust God. So if you're struggling to give with your time or money, it's an indicator of where your trust is with God. And so you might go, oh man, oh seriously, Kevin. Yeah, that's not a condemnation thing. That's a dashboard check. If you're struggling to trust, if you're struggling to be, say, God, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Okay, so how can I give? Well, then what you're saying is, I trust myself to do all this and to provide more than I believe you're the provider. Yeah, and so it's an indicator of where your trust level is at. And so pay attention to that. Notice that. Who is the source of your abilities? Who's the source of your income? Is it all you? Or is God the one opening doors, closing doors, giving you the opportunity? Right? This is important. This is a big deal. It's trust. It's a heart issue. Who are you trusting? So when we plan to be generous, really what we're doing is we're saying, God, I put you first, and I'm going to trust you for the job, for the income stream, and I'm going to trust you to help me manage this. And one of the ways I'm going to practically work that out is I'm going to start with giving to you first. And of course, Matthew 6:33, read it a lot, but it's such a good verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Get this main thing right, then everything else aligns underneath that. Right? It's like first, God first, seek him first, seek his kingdom, king and the kingdom first, and all this other stuff aligns. So important. And then practically in the area of financial giving, look at these two verses, because there's a promise. There's a priority first, seek him first, and there's a promise, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room for you to store it. I mean, that's like a money mic drop right there. I mean, it's like seriously, God. Okay, so when I tithe, when I give, and tithe means 10%, when I give 10% to my local church, that is actually a tithe, an official biblical tithe, then he's saying, just watch what I do. Test me in it. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there not be a rough room to store it. And of course, I'm not going to get into the Old Testament. Is this pre-law? Is this post-law? Is this, what is Jesus? I'm not going to get heavy into it, but just to say this, that I believe God communicated the tithe and the heart of the tithe to help his people get to the heart, their heart, and to find out where their heart's at, and to get you to be have a regular way to cultivate the generosity of heart that he wants to build in all of us. And tithing to your local church, the place where you fellowship and belong to, are a part of, and is your local church family, that is one way to support the mission and the ministry of Jesus in your community. And it's a way for you to flex regularly, exercise regularly this muscle of generosity. So, And first fruits are key too. And look at the next verse, Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So God's actually here communicating in his scriptures. He's not saying, wait till you see if you have anything left over, then tithe or give off that. He's saying, give first. I'm in first place. God says, I'm in first place. So as money comes in, then give. Like first, before you take care of your living expenses, before you save, just give first. And like, you might go, Kevin, are you sure? Yeah, I'm not giving you a zillion scriptures, but there's a lot. There's a lot on first fruits. The first fruits principle is key, because it's a priority thing. The promise comes with the priority, but it's a priority thing. When you keep God first and he's in first place, you financially, it's the practical way you work out where your heart's at. I'm going to give tithes. And if you're like, Kevin, I can't give 10%. Well, I get that. Start somewhere. Start to give somewhere. Where's your faith at? Where is your trust level at with God? Start there, and then begin to ask Him to grow your faith, right? And as you, He'll stretch you, and as you do that, you'll see it work amazingly. And now, because see, here's what's happening. As part of it, and let me go to, I want to go to this whiteboard here and just talk about the two cycles. Now, Craig Groeschel mentioned these in his book. There's the worry cycle and there's the faith cycle. And the worry cycle is you earn money, which this makes sense, and you spend money. And if this is all you do, basically, and even if you saved a little money in here, but you save and spend, and you don't, but listen, majority of people spend everything they earn. And then they have no margin. And so then they begin to worry. And so then they have to earn more money. And then just keeps going around like this. And if you start to save a little bit, it takes a little bit of the worry out. But if there's no giving in here, all of a sudden you're going to find that it's just this cycle. And all of a sudden you're worrying. It's like there's not enough money at the end of the month. I don't have anything left over. I'm working paycheck to paycheck. I'm not following any principles in the Bible of like saving and giving. And oh man, this is the worry cycle. And this frankly is where so many people are. And I've been here before and massively struggled with this. But God's way is say, earn some income, earn some money, you give. And I believe you could add some complexity to this. I would say save, but I would say saves after give. Give first as top priority, meaning I would say tithes and offerings here, right? And I would just put those in here, just tithe for T and an O for offerings. Tithe is that anything your local church offering is anything up and above your tithe. And then what you start to notice is God really blesses that. And as He's blessing that, what it does is your trust is growing, which means your faith is growing. Your trust that God, I'd watch what you're doing. I'm seeing blessing and promotion in my life. And He's adding to my life. And my faith and trust is growing. And then I'm going to earn more. And all of a sudden, you're starting to earn more than you earned before. And all of a sudden, you're starting to give a little more. So this cycle builds trust and faith. And you find, man, I'm enjoying my life and others are being blessed in the process because gratitude starts to flow. Over here, it's really a self-focused thing up here in the worry cycle. But down here, it's a trusting in God thing, right? And one of the ways you show you trust in God is by giving. Boom. It seems so simple, but it's practical. It's hard to work out sometimes. It really is. And so I want to challenge you to really lean in and think about that. Now let's look a little bit more at this 2 Corinthians passage. Because he says this, remember this, remember whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. Look at verse 7, skip down there. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I hope you hear my heart. I'm not trying to convince you to do it from a pressure standpoint. I'm just like, it's part of the discipleship journey to grow in generosity. And if you haven't been there yet, hopefully God's getting you there. As a matter of fact, He's letting you hear truth from His word. He's saying, don't do it because Kevin says so. Decide in your heart to give. Let me work on your heart. And don't do it, let me change your heart. Submit your heart to me. Let me work on it. Because God, He loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to actually begin to enjoy giving. So I was thinking about that and I'm thinking, because I said to you earlier, tithe, Kevin, like 10%, man, that's a lot of money. And if you're not tithing, if you're not giving at all, that is a big jump. Now, God may give you the faith to go from 0 to 10, but if you can't be cheerful and do that, then ask Him, God, where can I be cheerful? In other words, where can I trust you where I'm giving? Is that 2%? Is that 3%? I think the most important thing is that you start and you start doing it consistently. So start some percentage consistently to your local church, and God may have you give other places too, but if you're not doing that, that's going to be a major pattern of generosity to plan to do. And so start with whatever that percentage is. You prayerfully ask God and ask Him, God, give me faith. What do I have faith for, and where can I be cheerful about it? Start somewhere. I was thinking about Shelly and I's budget, and we always have a written budget. We love the Every Dollar app by Ramsey. It works really good. But the top of the budget is income. So here's the income streams coming in. Here's what's coming in. And then the next line on our budget item is giving. It's giving. It's giving tithes to our local church. We give to global, our missions offerings. And then we have several other places that we give as well. We have other people that we support. And then I even have a budget area that I would, how do I say it? I kind of have it under other, because I'm just planning that there's going to be other spontaneous things or kairos moments or things we find out about that we want to give to. So I plan to give beyond tithe and global. Some months it's different amounts, right? Some months it's just passes on to the next month and I just wait and see if God, but you know, there's people always are some opportunity to give. And so I want to prayerfully be ready. I've pre-decided there's going to be something I don't know about, but I want to give to. That Shelly and I want to give to. And trust me, it works all the time. And it's so fun because when you pre-decided it, then you're looking for it. You're asking God about it. Yeah, so it's really cool. But it's a priority. It's right there. It's right after. It comes in, and then what's next? We know we're going to give. Tithes, yeah, that's a given. Offerings, what will those be? For sure we're tithing no matter what. That's a no matter what. The offerings can be, you know, sometimes you're making commitments, so you want to follow through on the commitments. But sometimes it's just spontaneous and sporadic. And that's so fun. So, but the other thing is that you don't just give, God doesn't ask us just to give money, which is what I'm primarily talking about today. But he also asks to give our time. And look at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Gift you have been received, he says, whatever gift you have received. So God's imparted and put things in each of us. Use those things, steward those things, manage those things, give away time, serve others, help others, be faithful stewards, faithful managers of what? God's grace in its various forms. And so he graces us with gifts and abilities and time. And he says, now go give those away. Don't hoard them. Don't keep them here. Don't go, man, I have such great gifts. I wonder if I'll ever have an opportunity to use them. No. Start using them because they grow too, the more you use them. And there's so many people to be blessed, and God wants to bless other people through you. That's how he does this. So when I think about here at River City, I think even on Sundays, you know, there's people who make the coffee and set it out and make sure it's all ready for us. I mean, like, that's such a blessing. Do they have an incredible gift of making coffee? Maybe some do, you know, but I mean, even it's just like a practical thing. It's like, give a little bit of your time. That's going to be a blessing to others. It helps make part of the atmosphere here, helps people have a nice warm cup of coffee, helps their experience on Sundays to be good. Then there's, you know, these areas like Kids City and Youth Fusion Youth, where people are serving to help young people and know Jesus and hear Jesus and grow in their relationship with him. Man, that's a way to use those gifts. Some people love kids. Some people struggle with kids. If you struggle with kids, maybe don't volunteer yet, okay, for that. We want to help you grow in that too. But you know, it might be set up and tear down. There's seats we got to set up every week. So there's these practical ways to give your time and might be out in the community in another way. We, have, of course, have dinner churches where we're serving food to those in need. But it might be another organization where God wants you to give your time. Might be just serving in your neighborhood. God will create opportunities for you and help you see them if you ask him. And so it's so important to recognize your time is also a place to steward, and we're distributors of God's grace. And then thirdly, generous people go from a have to a get to perspective. And it's like, Kevin, do I have to do this? Well, it's clearly in God's word, but it's a heart thing. So if your heart's not there, ask God to change your heart, right? And that's all I can say, but it's clearly in scripture. You're supposed to do it, but I'm reluctant. I'm not a cheerful giver. Well, then ask God to work on your heart. And maybe you go, I kind of be a little bit of a giver. Then start there. Just start there. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. And I need to wrap this up quickly, but it says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. At the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. There's that first thing. And then, by the will of God, also to us. So grace given by God poured out to the churches in Macedonia. They were not just impoverished, they were extremely impoverished, and yet their it says that rich generosity flowed from them. And it's convicting. And I want to there's a video that you can, there's a link in the notes on this message today that you could look at, of an example of a pastor in Africa that God challenged him. He goes, I was always receiving generosity, but I wasn't really generous myself because he had so little. He goes, I just had nothing. But God started to convict his heart. And as he grew in his generosity, his congregation started noticing he was growing. They wanted to be a part of it. And it's a great story about how God blessed this congregation, this pastor and his family and the congregation in generosity. And so, friend, I don't know where you're at today, but I just want to challenge you to think about this, pray about this. Because God wants to move us towards greater generosity all the time. And even in our own church, we have about 20% of people giving and tithing on a regular basis. But that means there's 80%, 75-80% of people aren't enjoying the blessing of being generous. They haven't pre-decided to be generous. And I see that as sad for those who aren't yet giving, or that's just where they're at in their maturity and their journey with Jesus. And I want to challenge you, pray about this. Say, God, work on my heart, because I can see I probably should, but I don't know if I can trust you. God wants to draw you in. He wants to give you faith. He wants to get you out of this worry cycle and get you into this faith cycle and this generous cycle, and watch to see what God will do. So here's the challenge. Look on the screen. If you're not giving, prayerfully start. If you're giving randomly, plan to give consistently. If you're tithing a little, start moving towards that goal of 10%. Let it be a stretch goal to get to 10% if you're not there yet. And maybe you're like, I've been given forever. I want to challenge you with joyful generosity. Just like the Macedonian churches, it says they gave beyond their ability. How do you do that? Well, supernatural provision that was way beyond anything planned. And I just think, wow, God, I want to get more of that. I've had experiences with that. I don't have time to tell you the story. I'd love to see you in person if you're in the area sometime soon. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for this message. Thank you for the generosity that you've poured out on all of us by your Son, Jesus. You paid that price for us, Jesus. And we, because of what you've done, we don't have to pay the penalty for our own sin. You generously gave us your sacrificial life, and you died for us, and you were buried, and you rose again. But then you generously gave us that life. You gave us freedom, and then you empowered us by your Spirit, and we get to walk in your ways every day. Thank you for that. We're grateful for that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Have a great week.